Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This guy, pressing, steps away beautifully. Five for the end zone. Oh, it's intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Saber still. He's now looking to take it out. And Saber still is going to go down. The third turnover of the first half for Detroit. And this one in the end zone.
Wow. That was huge. And it was so big. And I don't know what you guys were thinking. I was thinking when he returned it, I'm going to talk about that because I think they would have had a chance to score had he just needed it in the end zone before the end of the half. But they were getting the ball to start the second half. And it's like, we're up 31-21. We're going to have a chance to make it a 3-score game in the second half. Great. Interception. Ball was late. Ball wasn't well thrown, but it doesn't matter. He undercut it beautifully. He has been quite the player this year. And when we were really wondering about corner and would it be, you know, him on the outside, he's fine on the outside. I know that ultimately they want to play him on the inside, but he is fine on the outside, 100%. All right. There's a lot on this good list, and I'm just going down it here. So let's continue. So the offense, Jaden, the mistakes by Detroit, they're all crucial in this game. I mean, again, if you're plus three or plus two in this game, it's probably coming down to the final possession one way or the other, which still would have been a good position for our team. I mentioned all the players on offense that I thought played well. Thought John Allen in particular as a pass rusher was outstanding. Dorrance Armstrong as a pass rusher was outstanding. It would be hard to grade anybody well on Saturday night against the run. That was a difficult watch at times against the run. But I did think that they got good pass rush, and I thought it may have been one of John Allen's better games since he came back. He was really difficult to deal with as a pass rusher. Mike Sander still obviously on the list of defensive players that played well. The two interceptions, the not getting fooled on the Jamison Williams reverse throw was huge in the game. Hold on, just looking down my list here. You know, they're awesome on kick coverage. If I were the opposing team and that ball made it to the end zone, there's no chance I would field it. In fact, I'd let it bounce in the field. Well, no, because then it's a 20-yard line. But if that ball gets kicked into the end zone, I don't care if it's by a half yard. That ball is getting downed and it's out at the 30. Washington's kick coverage against everybody but Kevontae Turpin has been outstanding all year, and they gain yards on that, man. I don't know what the net yardage gain for Washington on kick coverage. We do know that Washington fielded and kicked within the field of play and covered more kicks than anybody in the league. It's what they've wanted to do. You know, where much of the league has said, no, we're okay with the other team starting at the 30, Washington was not. They were strategically, aligned in their vision, as we've heard many times, about what they wanted to do with special teams, and they've got some really good kick coverage guys. Fourth down aggression, but wasn't just aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. It was strategic. It wasn't reckless. There wasn't one fourth down that I didn't think they should go for. And when he kicked the field goal up up 45-31 on fourth and a yard, I'm like, that's the right decision. Make it a 17-point game. There's no benefit to getting stopped here. That's the only chance Detroit has. I thought they were good. They were 4 for 5 if you count the 12 men on the field. And the only one they got stopped on was taking the ball out of Jaden's hands on the fourth down in the first quarter. All right, list of bad from the game. There's not much, really, but there is some on defense for sure. Taking the ball out of Jaden's hands on fourth. Do we know, Denton? It seems to me the play was Mariota is going to fake like he's, you know, quarterback sneaking it, and then he's going to turn and he's going to throw or pitch to Jaden. And Brian Robinson Jr. got in the way. Is that the prevailing thought on what that play was? Has Dan Quinn spoken about that play?
I don't know that he's spoken about it, but the prevailing thought is that he was going to pitch it back to Jaden, who then was going to have De'Ami Brown streaking down the sideline wide open.
Got it. Well, it didn't work because number 8 got in the way. Apparently, he didn't know. That was not a good play, and you know, that was their second drive. They got stopped on the fourth and that was their first drive, excuse me. They get stopped on that drive, and we talked about how, you know, you can't give up possessions. Like the team that I talked about, +1 in the red zone, +1 turnover margin. You got to be plus in the fourth down decisions. You know, you wanted to get Detroit to a couple of fourth downs. They don't get to a lot of fourth downs like Washington did this year. But they were, they missed their first one. They made their last four. It's a lesson for this group moving forward. Don't get too tricky. You got number 5 on fourth and anything less than 3 or 4. It's even money that he's going to convert. On the things that I didn't like list, I'll tell you what, man. They got to figure out a way. I'm not the guy that comes in and yells about replay one way or the other a lot. But you cannot have a face mask potentially that isn't a face mask potentially turn the game around. And I'm sorry, but on the 3rd and 2 where Montgomery gets tackled and Fowler's called for the face mask, it's clearly not a face mask. It's really hard on subjective, you know, calls, on judgment things. That's not judgment. That's not subjective. He either grabbed the face mask or he didn't. Now, if he grabbed it and let go of it, we're not going to get into a debate and replay as to whether or not he had it long enough, if he twisted it long enough, whatever. We're just going to use replay to say, yeah, we messed up on that. We were surprised by the jerk that, you know, Montgomery gave. We thought it was the face mask. It wasn't. That penalty gets overturned. Where are we now? I mean, we've got the use of all of this technology. It's clearly not a face mask. That needs to be a play that coaches can challenge. And I would say this, the only way it gets overturned is if there's absolutely no contact with the face mask, which there wasn't. If there's a quick, you know, grab, but it's a scrape, then they can't overturn the call. That's fine. But if there's no actual contact between hand and face mask, the call gets overturned. That was a massive call that gave them a first down. That was David Montgomery, by the way. Again, I don't know why he was in the game to start the game or to start the third quarter. They got bailed out of having Montgomery in that game instead of a Jahmyr Gibbs to start the second half. They get us, like, think about this, Denton. What are they doing? They're down 31-21 and they finally get a stop. They got a stop in part because Jaden, you know, on a read option keeper got stopped for -2. That may have been the one decision he may not have made correctly in the read option game. And they get off the field and now, okay, they're down 31-21. All we got to do is go down and score. We're back in this game. And Jahmyr Gibbs isn't on the field to start the second half? That makes no sense. They really just, there must have been an arrogance to the, or an overconfidence to the way they felt about this football game. Because that make, when some dude averages 10.7 yards per carry in the first half and nearly rushes for 100 yards and a half, and he's my best player, down 10 in a playoff game, he's going to be on the field when we get the ball to start the second half. He wasn't. The face mask was a terrible, terrible call, and it was hurtful because they took it, and then, by the way, they put Gibbs into the game, and they went down and scored. He scored on an 8-yard run on 2nd and goal to make it 31-28. On the list of things that I didn't like, look, they got 5 turnovers. They were opportunistic as hell on defense. Actually, it's one of the better results for the defense in a long time. But you can't overlook how they were absolutely dismantled and gashed time and time again in the running game. Detroit rushed for 200 yards on 23 carries. Yeah, I know that 61 of them were on the reverse. That still counts, by the way. He was untouched on the reverse. Jahmyr Gibbs was 14 for 105. In the first half, he was 9 for 96. You know, David Montgomery was the least of the two options, or the better option for us versus Gibbs. He still rushed for 4 yards per carry in the game. They gave up in the first half 309 yards, and they turned the ball over 3 times. Like, so they're giving up plays and points with the turnovers, and again, two of them are forced in the first half, no doubt. The Quan Martin thing is, hello, you got to catch it. Goff will put one up for grabs, and you got to catch it, and he did that. And I'm not discounting the possibility that some of the coverage fooled Goff on that, not at all. But you can't... Washington, I think, we'll have to check this. If they were to go on and win the Super Bowl, I think they would be, from a DVOA standpoint, the lowest-ranked defensive team to ever win a Super Bowl. I think there have been low-ranked teams to participate in a Super Bowl, but not to win one. Detroit, it was too easy for them until they decided to get tricky and throw the ball in third and one, or, you know, have their receiver throw it, or it just... Amon-Ra St. Brown was basically uncheckable. Sam Laporta was uncatchable. The dude number 11, Khalif Raymond, was a problem for them. And Jahmyr Gibbs is a pass catcher and runner. There's no in that game, once I realized it was going to be a track meet and we were going to need to score on every possession, 26 would not have been off the field unless he was hyperventilating because he was so exhausted. The dude touched the ball 20 times and had 175 yards. Of offense. So defensively, you say on one hand, really nice job being opportunistic. You had forced turnovers. You played smart. You confused Goff a little bit defensively. You got good pass rush pressure. All of those things are positive. You gave ultimately in this game, and there's some garbage yards at the end, I'll concede that, but you gave up 521 yards, 30 first downs, and 31 points. And you needed basically at least 3 of those turnovers, if not the 4th, to win the game. Detroit's prolific offensively. Don't get me wrong. That was always going to be a problem in terms of you were never going to slow them down. You were just going to need them to help you out, and that's what happened. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. There are a lot of other things that I want to mention about the game, but you can start lining it up on the phone lines right now. And this is not just a reaction to anything from the game on Saturday night. This is also, how are you feeling? We are in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 33 years. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Do want to tell you about Window Nation. Window Nation has a great deal going on between now and the end of the month. With heating costs soaring and your heating probably running full tilt with the cold weather we have, it's time to replace those old drafty windows with new energy efficient windows from Window Nation. Go to windownation.com right now. You'll save big, 50% off all window styles, plus zero interest and no payments for 2 years. So by the time you start paying for the windows in the year 2027, you'll be paying half price and no interest will have been charged. Window Nation's products are built to protect your home with top quality insulation and seals and often outperform the expensive guys. So you'll save money on utility bills year round. Plus, Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in a day or less. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can trust Window Nation. The sale ends January 31st. Don't miss out on your chance to save 50% off all window styles, plus zero interest and zero payments for 2 years. Call them now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Mention my name. They'll come out and give you a free in-home estimate.
Daniels quick throw from the side. Terry McLaurin.
I mean, that stretch of the second quarter, honestly, was breathtaking football. I mean, it was super entertaining for anybody that was watching it. But to go from, you know, Washington grabs the lead 10-7 on the, you know, they get the big play to Diami to start that drive. Explosive play after explosive play. They're up 10-7. Detroit comes back, six plays, 70 yards. They're in the end zone. Then you get the 58-yarder on first and 10 to Terry, 17-14. Then you get the pick six, 24-14. But then Detroit, three plays, 73 yards, touchdown. And then that was on the reverse. It's 24-21. And then Washington, right back down the field, seven plays, 70 yards. It's 31-21. Then here comes Detroit, right down the field, but they commit their third turnover. Great interception by San Ristol. That was crazy. 42 points scored in the second quarter, 52 total in the first half, with 621 yards of total offense. We were on pace for some record-shattering offensive football in a divisional round playoff game, that's for sure. I looked up the Brady. I didn't know what the most yards for a passing playoff game were. It was Brady against Quinn in the Super Bowl. He threw for 505. That's the record for passing yards in a game. And Jaden had 242 at halftime. So he was under that pace. But it just seemed like if he had to keep throwing, he was throwing for 400-plus for sure. And he didn't have to keep throwing because they were effective running the football, and they got ahead by three scores. All right, real quickly before we get to the phone lines and before I get to Denton's big takeaways from the game, just a couple of other observations. Sam Cosmi torn ACL. That's going to hurt them without question. Jalen Carter and company up front were a problem in that first game in particular, and that's where Philadelphia's strength is. You know, Philadelphia's strength is their defense, and Jalen Carter on Sunday would be probably the third best player in the game, probably Jaden, followed by Barkley, followed by Jalen Carter. So that's a problem, and we wish Sam the best. He's had a hell of a season, actually played really well before he got hurt. And he's a terrific young man, and that's a big loss to have that. And, you know, when it happens this late in the year, you wonder about next year and his availability to start 2025. We'll obviously have plenty of time to talk about that. But that's a big injury for Washington. So the San Ristol second interception, San Ristol first interception, excuse me, the team's second interception. I wish he had kneed the ball in the end zone. I think they would have had a chance to go score. He burned 8 seconds, and then the play came out to basically the 10-yard line. You know, he returned it. Look, he's a playmaker, and maybe he's got a chance to make a 106-yard return, 107-yard return. But given how aggressive we've been at the end of halves, I know we were scheduled to get the football to begin the second half, and if they had taken a knee from the 20-yard line with 30 seconds to go in all of their timeouts, I wouldn't have had a problem with it because they were getting the ball, and you don't want to make a big mistake. You're up 10. But I think, you know, you would have had an option then from your 20-yard line and 30 seconds. Instead, it was 22 seconds, and they were, you know, at the 10 or 11-yard line. And they really, at that point, because of the field position and the less time, didn't have the option to go down and try to score. Because 30 seconds and the 20-yard line and timeouts left, you're probably going to get in field goal range against that defense and with our quarterback. That's a small nit to pick, trust me. I'll take the interception over anything that followed it. What else did I have? Did Biadasz really false start on that opening drive of the game? You know, before the 4th and 2, which Mariota took, it was 3rd and 9, and Biadasz got called for a false start, which made it 3rd and 14. Then, by the way, Fox was late getting back to the throw to Crowder for 13 yards. It got it to 4th 1, 4th 1.5, whatever it was officially. I didn't think Biadasz false started there. What else? Oh, that was a pretty damn good onside kick that they had, down 38-28, and a really nice job by Ertz to field the ball. Oh, one other small nit to pick. On 1st and goal, McNichols, don't stick the ball out. It's just too dangerous. You know, on first and goal, I think runners are instructed. We're not going to try to reach. We're not going to reach for pylons. We're not going to do that. We got a second down play if you don't get in normally with the ball protected. But that ball was completely unprotected. Now, it got to the plane and broke the plane for the touchdown. But I think that's never the right thing to do in that spot. Anyway, that's it. Incredible. 45-31. Second most points in a playoff game ever for Washington. The most on the road in a playoff game, but they did score 51 at home in a playoff game over the Rams following the 83 season. They won 51-7. I don't know that it was as much of a shocker as it was a stunner in the way in which the offense just was legitimately unstoppable all night long. Even if you thought you had them dead to right, no. They came back and Jaden just threw something to somebody else on a big-time play. I don't even know where I'd start with my favorite plays of the game. I think the bomb to Diami with Kirby Joseph covering up his eyes and face mask and almost looked like Diami closed his eyes was such a great throw. But I think the 4th-and-2 to Terry after he threw one of the only bad balls he threw all game on a slant, he threw it behind Terry versus pressure was outstanding too. All right, Denton, big takeaways before we get to the phone calls.
Well, a lot of it is, and I'm sure these are going to be a lot of the phone calls too, Jaden Daniels is really MFing good. And he's gotten to a point now where the expectation is that he is going to go blow the doors off of teams and put up a ton of points. And I thought he did that. I thought the way that he played in terms of the confidence and the poise was incredibly impressive. I never was of the belief, the same way that you weren't, and anybody with a brain was not, that the noise was going to get to Jaden Daniels. That just wasn't going to happen. But I thought the way that he controlled the game, he didn't try to do too much, because you really got to a point where Jared Goff was trying to press. Like that throw that ended up being a pick six, he has a check down wide open. He decides he wants to press because he knows this is going to be a back and forth juggernaut fight. And he throws a pick six. Like, Jaden never did any of that. You know, the one bad throw might have been to Terry. Obviously, Diami had the drop. That's not on Jaden. That was a perfect pass. I thought the way that he played was sensational, but it was really nice. Like, really, really nice to see the running backs play like we know they're capable of. Best game that they've had since the Tennessee matchup, which is now a couple of months ago. I thought that was perfect timing to get you back to playing that kind of complementary football. And if you have any hope of going and beating Philadelphia, you're going to need that. So I thought them, Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler in particular, playing well was a really, really strong sign of things to come.
Yeah, it was. Look, Philadelphia is a completely different animal altogether on defense. That will be, you know, the challenge, because it won't be as easy. It was 7-on-7, it seemed like, at times against Detroit's defense. We know it won't be that against Philadelphia, but Washington's the only team that has lit up Philadelphia, and they did it with 5 turnovers. It's insane. Look, the Rams really got it going at the end of the game. They had a chance to win that game. Real quickly, Denton, which of the two teams, as you were watching that game, did you want?
Yes, sir. I mean, I would have loved the Rams just because I think Washington is like significantly better than the Rams are. But from the storyline perspective, like I was kind of like, all right, like let's do this. We know we're going to have to run through Philly eventually. Like let's line Philly up and let's do this again for a third time.
As I was watching that game yesterday, I'm like, I think the Rams are going to be a difficult matchup, more difficult, because they can score and they can move the football. And they've got a Super Bowl veteran, future Hall of Fame quarterback who's playing well. They've got big-time receivers. They've got the ability to run the ball. They also have a dominant defensive player. You know, it would have been different than Detroit in a lot of ways. And I thought Philadelphia, they can't throw the football. Now, you don't have to throw the football against Washington, but you don't want to go into a game where you're facing 9 and 10 in the box, which is what happened at times the last time they faced Barkley, especially with a quarterback. Once he was hurt, I'm like, I think it would be better to get the Rams and get a Jalen Hurts or Kenny Pickett team. Now, the thing that would have been different is that I think we would have had a home field advantage at SoFi. I mean, it certainly would have been a neutral. There would have been no home field advantage for the Rams. And I'm assuming they would have played that game at SoFi, although, you know, who knows what will happen. But I think they were ready to go back to SoFi. But Philadelphia with a Jalen Hurts either out or not 100% where he can be a part of the running game. He had a 40-yard touchdown run on a read option keeper to start the game. You know, that's a big part of Saquon Barkley's success. He's brilliant, don't get me wrong, but when you've got that dual threat and you've got that offensive line, they can be tough to stop on the running game. But God, they don't throw the football. How many catches does A.J. Brown have? It's like 3 in the last 2 games, in the playoff games. All right, phone lines are open. Your chance. Whatever you want to talk about. Saturday night, Sunday coming up. Let's start with Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, go ahead, man.
Hey, Kevin. I think Joe Witt has maximized the potential of his defense considering the lack of talent they have. Lattimore has had key plays in both playoff weeks now. And the key play he had was on that pick six by Quan Martin because he disrupted the route by Tim Patrick with the jam that led to Goff overthrowing the ball.
Yeah, Laporta's wide open on the check down, though.
Exactly. But in Goff, he just missed the read. Our other corners have to stop giving free releases to receivers. It drives me crazy. I think Lattimore's the only one who doesn't do that. And Lattimore, he's going to get beat. You know that. He doesn't have the elite speed, but he's very physical. And then also, after listening to your interview with Deron Payne, I realized the reason why we can't stop the run is because of Daryl Tapp. I think he's struggling as a D-line coach. And by halftime, Joe Witt, he has to talk to the defense because that's the reason why we don't get gassed in the second half in the second half in games, because he must be making adjustments, because Daryl Tapp, to me, is the Sam Mills situation all over again.
Well, we've been gashed in the second half as much as we've been gashed in the first half. Philly gashed us in the second half of the first game in November.
But in the second game, it was different. Remember when Hurts got injured?
Yeah, Hurts is out. I mean, that was a big part of that game.
Right, right. But also, the other thing, too, is I think that, you know, we have a good shot against the Eagles. I just think that, you know, we just have to, you know, play sound defense. And I think Jaden is exceptional. There's not much you can say about him. It's kind of an expectation now. But
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it really is. Ralphie, I want to point one thing out that you started with because I didn't mention it, and I have it on my notes. I don't know why I didn't mention it. Lattimore obviously did not travel with anybody on Saturday night, which I think was the good call. And I thought, for the most part, he did a decent job. Look, the real killer to Washington was Gibbs. They couldn't stop the run when Gibbs ran the football, and they couldn't stop him even close to stopping him in space when he got thrown the football. But I think I doubt we'll see on Sunday him traveling with A.J. Brown like they did the first time. And to be honest with you, against Philly, you know, let's see what they decide to do. Let's see what the Hurts situation is. But press coverage actually gives you a shot. If you're Philadelphia, to throw more often to A.J. Brown, if you play man coverage and you play press coverage. I think Hurts has more of an issue when the first read isn't obvious. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, I know you're happy, man. We're there, finally. One more step, though. Go ahead.
Kevin, words can't describe how, like, an NFC championship. I mean, man, this feels so good. But let me go to the like. Didn't like. I got two side notes, and one of them is very important for Sunday. So let's do the likes. Jaden Daniels, does this game pressure him or bother him at all? Every time he either throws a touchdown pass or makes a little run for a first down, he's like, okay, next play, let's go. It's like he doesn't want to be in the spotlight. It's like he's in game mode, and it's been like that all season long, probably since he was back when he was in college as well. So Terry McLaurin and De'Ami Brown. Terry McLaurin was fantastic, including that 58-yard touchdown where he literally stiff-armed his defender. Kevin, is it safe to ask if De'Ami Brown could possibly be our number two moving forward? I don't know what we would do this offseason, but De'Ami Brown, when he gets the opportunity to get the ball thrown at him, look what he either done. It's either a deep ball or yards into the catch. I mean, he's had a great postseason. The defense I was concerned going in against Detroit's offense, but 5 turnovers. Again, 5 turnovers. Pretty good for the defense, I would say, especially Jared Goff. I mean, Detroit kind of shot themselves in the foot. I don't know why they didn't run the ball on us so much either, because they were really picking us apart when Gibbs had the ball. What I didn't like, this is going back to what I said about the defense, the running Gibbs was picking us apart. Now, why did Detroit decide not to use him more? I don't know. That's something Detroit may have to ask.
Well, once they got down 17, you got to throw the football. You got to try to get it back quickly. So that changed the dynamic of the game. I mean, if it's a one-score game or if it's a two-score game and there's plenty of time, Gibbs still is a factor. I just can't believe that David Montgomery got 7 of Jahmyr Gibbs's carries. Honestly, maybe he should have gotten 2 or 3, but it was an advantage for Washington every time number 5 had the ball in his hands versus number 26. There's no doubt about that. Thanks, Joe, for the call. Real quickly on Diami, because we kind of talked about this towards the end of the year and before the Tampa game. Once Noah Brown left, Diami Brown's obviously been the guy to take over for Noah Brown. I mean, he had almost half his targets and almost half his catches in the final 4 games of the regular season. And now he's got his highest targeted game, which was Saturday night, 8 targets, 6 catches for 98 yards. Had his best day yardage-wise, had his best day, not his best day average per, but he's now been targeted 13 times in 2 playoff games and has 11 catches for 187 yards, averaging 17 yards per reception with a touchdown. He's done a great job. We were wondering about Noah Brown. I remember saying, I think it's Luke McCaffrey. I think this is the opportunity for McCaffrey to get the opportunity. That's not what happened. It's been the Diami Brown show since Noah Brown's injury. Let's go to Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray, what's up, man? Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
You know, I went to LSU. You know what I feel about this young man. I knew he was going to be good. I just didn't know he was going to be this good.
Nobody did. We all knew. Anybody that watched him at LSU knew how great he would be.
It's just amazing. Yeah. I know, but it just wasn't this fast. I said earlier in the year that I would be unhappy if he sat a year and let Mariota let him watch, you know, like maybe what Mahomes did. I was wrong about that. That's for sure. But I want to, you've been talking about a whole lot of people, and I want to talk about one person and somebody who should put this guy in his will, and that's Zach Ertz. He has come, he was in Philadelphia. He was great there. He was great. And then he kind of went out to Arizona, and he was there, and I'm sure he was good, but he wasn't what he is. And he comes here, and he's had a revitalization of his career on this team. I can't think of a tight end that we've had since the 80s that has been more impactful to this team's success than Zach Ertz has this year. I mean, can you think of anybody?
Well, I mean, Jordan Reed was just an uncheckable pass-catching tight end. If we're going to get into comparisons, Jordan Reed, had he stayed healthy, would have been an all-time great at the position, in my opinion. But Zach Ertz, first of all, it's been it. Well, he did with Kirk. I mean, he just was prolific with Kirk. But I would say this. I totally agree with you from the impact, but maybe for additional reasons. They brought him in because he was familiar with Cliff. They knew how great he would be in the locker room. They knew how great he would be for a young quarterback. They knew how big of a target at 6'6 he would be for a young quarterback. You know, Ertz's lack of production in recent years has been primarily because of injuries, and he has stayed relatively healthy this year. He's been a huge plus for this team, and I think in so many ways that we don't even know. I think there's a comfort there that Jaden has in Mariota in the quarterback room and with Ertz and with Wagner, because he's obviously become really close to Wagner. This is where, you know, when you have adults leading an organization and the dynamic of a locker room is, taken seriously, they went after a culture coach, good X's and O's coach, but a culture coach, a leadership coach who knew how to change a culture. And Ertz has been a part of that. I agree with you, Stevie Ray. Let's go to Bones. Bones, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Hey,
good
Bones.
Good morning, Denton. Hey, look, Kevin. Man, the offensive line, no holding penalty. We got to get Cosby healthy. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, he's not
Kevin.
Playing. He's done for the year.
Right, yeah, but we're going to the Super Bowl. Hopefully, Trent Scott steps his game up. We're going to the Super Bowl, Kevin. Simple as that. We've seen this before. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, some of us have seen it before. There are others that have not seen it before. But Bones, I'm with you, man. I feel good about this. Just Saturday night, it became clear this team, and look, it's 2024. All right, you don't have to be a dominant defense to win it. You got to be a dominant offense, and that's what they have. They are a dominant offensive football team. Let's go to Sabah. Sabah's called in here more recently. You excited, or are you still dealing with, you know, kind of mixed feelings?
Oh, my God. Kevin, let me tell you, I just want to get all in. I'm about 80% there, though. I mean, I can't help myself but get excited. I was at a hotel in Boston, because my daughter played NYU Friday, and then we played Brandeis on Sunday. So we were Saturday night at the hotel in Boston, and we're all getting ready to watch the game. And I'm like, why is there basketball on? And they're like, oh, we don't get Fox in this hotel. I'm like, what? What do you mean you get Fox? It's an antenna channel. They don't get it. I'll go up to my room. I'm looking, nothing. So I had to get my iPad, log into my YouTube TV, and then we came downstairs in the lobby. Everybody held it up around me, and we watched the game.
They didn't have Fox in a hotel. Where were you staying?
A major Fairfield Inn Marriott, a nice hotel. Great lobby, huge TVs, and no
Fox. That doesn't make any sense.
I couldn't believe it. Oh, I'll put a complaint in. Anyway, so watching, I'm like, everybody's like, aren't you so excited? I'm like, if only they were the Redskins. I know, so they're convincing me. Just call them the Redskins. That's what I'm going to do. I think, Kevin, we're so going to go to Super Bowl and likely win it. Because let me tell you, you know how you talk about the defense? I agree with you. Defense, to me, is like spending money. We spend tons because we let people do whatever they want against us. But guess what we have? We're wealthy on offense. We can spend more. We make more than we spend. So we make more money, offense, than we spend, defense. We always outscore. Whenever we have to, we outscore. And another thing I'm noticing, Kevin, we've become like the Patriots. The other teams crack under pressure, not us. We just sit there and do our thing. We trust our preparation. We don't flinch like Tampa did. We don't flinch like Detroit did. They literally soiled themselves.
They flinched.
It was embarrassing
flinched.
For Detroit.
You're right. Yeah.
Yes, they absolutely. And we don't. Jaden is a cool cucumber. I call us the KGT offense. Not KGB, but KGT. Cliff, Jaden, and Terry. And as long as we have those three guys, ain't nobody beating us. And wouldn't it be ironic, Kevin, if we ended up in Super Bowl with the Chiefs? Well, we can't say our name, but yet they get the tomahawk.
I've already thought about
a
that.
Single resistance.
I have already thought about that. I've thought
love
about
that.
Wouldn't it be ironic if it were, you know, the Chiefs, or what if it were Buffalo? The last time we were in the Super Bowl was Buffalo, and here we would be
Thurman
33
Thomas
years later with the Bills.
Remember
again.
That?
No, the Chiefs thing would be an interesting sidebar. Because, there'd be a lot of Redskin fans that would certainly
out. The Redskin symbol, when they talk about our teams, they don't even show it. That's a disgusting display of a double standard. But yet the Chiefs are sitting there mocking what the Native Americans do. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm happy. You were right, Kevin. I was wrong. Jaden is the real deal. I'm all in on him.
He's something special. Thanks, Sabah. Everybody else, stay on hold. We'll take more of your calls next.
Daniels. Four-man rush this time. Zips it in. Caught by your guy, Zach Ertz. Touchdown.
Yeah. Ertz has been a major factor. There have been so many of them. It's like everybody on offense, at some point you can say, wow, that dude really played well. I think everybody's had their moments along the offensive line. Everybody's had their moments in the backfield, including somebody like Chris Rodriguez. Everybody has had their moments. The only guy that we really haven't seen produce at the level that we kind of expected him to produce, and I was looking at this, Denton, is Luke McCaffrey. He was only out there for 8 snaps on Saturday night. You know, he's young. He's a rookie. Maybe we're just we've got too high of an expectation level for other rookies on the team after what Jaden and Sanders still really have done. All right, phone calls. Neil in Rockville, go.
First off, if his last name wasn't McCaffrey, we wouldn't even be talking about him.
Okay.
So, but I think it was after week 3. I think I called in and we were able to quote our good friend Steve Zabin. And I think at that point in time we said, let's go have ourselves a season. I think we're having ourselves a season.
Yeah, it finally worked.
It finally worked. My only thought as the game was going on, the Eagles game, was, you know, we know Jaden can sort of play in cold weather, but I'd much rather him be out there in the in California, in SoFi, and that sort of atmosphere, than having, you know, the cold of Philadelphia. Now, I kept checking the phone.
It looks like it's going to be nice, like in the 30s, maybe 40.
Yeah.
No precip. I mean, that could change, but it's not going to be what it was yesterday.
No, and that's a good thing, but I'd still like him on a faster track. I mean, I know L.A. on a faster track could be probably more dangerous, but you know what? As Doc would say, you know, let's go to their house. Let's kick them in the face. Let's, you know, if we're going to get there, let's do it the hard way. It'll feel that much better.
Remember, that Philly game at home in December was a legit cold game. It was like 28, 29 degrees at kickoff. So he's played in the cold weather, and it hasn't bothered him, not at this level. So, you know what? There's nothing I worry about anymore. I don't think I mean, that was more of a question, not a concern, because he's a Southern California kid who played at Arizona State and then played in, you know, Bayou and hadn't really experienced it. But I think that Philadelphia game, remember when he was bundled up on the sideline and looked like, you know, he needed an extra parka, that was a little bit concerning. But nothing's been concerning. Yes. Wasn't the Pittsburgh game kind of a cold game, too, for that day? I forget. But I know the Philly game was colder than he's going to play in on Sunday, the way it looks right now.
And listen, if their quarterback is having some, you know, some muscle or some leg problems, the cold's not going to help him. So, you know, if Hurts is hurting, you know, I don't even know if their backup is available.
Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's available. He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know what? We'll go up there and we'll keep this miracle season alive. Why not us, as they always say?
Mostly cloudy, high of 40 right now in the long-range forecast for Philadelphia on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Neil in Rockville. Let's go to Frank in Charlotte. Frank, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, happy Monday, happy Monday.
You too, Frank.
It was a great Saturday, man. I think I'm going to roll through my list here. I think the D-line just played out of there. You know what, as far as pass rushing, the O-line played great. And I think Bates, that key catch, people not talking about it. That Bates,
that was a big time catch.
That was a big time catch. And of course, Sanisteel and Martin were awesome. And Chen had some huge hits. B Rob got on track and Eckler. But what I'm worried about is the only thing I'm worried about is our run D. Just getting gashed again. You know, he's a great back. Gibbs is a great back, but Barkley, I think he's even greater. And so, I mean, he invokes fear. And so, I just hope that they can hold up, you know, just, you know, hold their lanes, you know, stuff like that, and just, you know, don't play behind blocks and stuff. So, and our DNs were getting on that long reverse. I think it was 99. He lost contain, and that's how that big play happened. And because if we could have funneled him back inside, we could have funneled him right into the pursuit. So, but I think it's going to be a great game up there in Philly. If the footing is great, I think Daniels is going to be great. But if it's not, it's going to really slow him down. And so then both QBs are going to have to win from the pocket.
Look, this is the best. The reason the Rams actually concerned me a little bit more as that game was going on yesterday is they can throw the football and they can run the football. Yep. And they've got a brilliant offensive coordinator and game planner and play caller. And they've got a legit, you know, future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winning quarterback. And I just thought, you know, fast track, not, you know, working against, not in a road environment, that would have been the best part about the Rams. The best part about the Eagles is that they are a one-dimensional football team right now on offense. I mean, plain and simple. Now, that one dimension has been a problem for our defense. I understand that. But when it's just one dimension that you've got to worry about, they can load the box like they did on the 22nd. And even in that game on Thursday night, they had 8, 9, sometimes almost 10 in the box in those two games. And then you take your shot with one-on-one coverage with, you know, Jalen maybe being healthy, maybe not healthy. Doesn't see it right now. Doesn't seem to be seeing it. The big problem with our offense is I don't feel like anybody can stop us. Anybody can slow us down. But they have the best defensive talent and the best defensive coordinator combo in the league. But we've seen them twice. But they've seen us twice. Jay and Frederick. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. It's been a while since I called in. So the first thing I just want to say is I think Jalen Hurts is more injured than they're letting on. I don't think that he's going to be able to run read option. So I think that even limits their run game even more. And then it's just, you know, they run any read option looks. Look at the third and fourth quarter after he got hurt. They didn't run any read option looks because the defense would have just gone right at Barkley. I think that Gibbs, and I've been saying this, I'm a big-time Alabama fan, you know that, Gibbs is a faster back. And that was really hurting us yesterday. Barkley's a better all-around back, but he is not faster through the hole than Gibbs. I think Gibbs is the fastest back in the league. And then, you know, the other thing I just have to say is, you know, my son used to work out with Caleb, and I really wanted us to draft him, but holy cow, this kid is different. And I don't know if it's that Dan Quinn tells him before the game, hey, we're going to go for it on fourth down. It's my decision. Don't worry. And it takes the edge off, but I've never seen a quarterback at any age in his NFL career as confident, as comfortable on fourth down as this kid is. It's just absolutely amazing. And you know, Kevin, the last time we had won a playoff game, my son was 2.5 weeks old. And I just got to experience 2 in a row with him. And I know you have young sons, too. And he's 20 years old now. And how much I just want to thank the leadership and the ownership of the team for finally giving us a team that we can be excited about and we can try to wear lucky t-shirts or whatever it is. It's just, it's really exciting, and we've really missed this for just so long.
Being a part of this stage, which it's been so long, 33 years, obviously, since the last time they were at this level. There's just something that generations after generations have missed. Like, my boys were really fired up. My youngest, who lives up in New York, I don't have young boys. They're older now. But I've watched them be essentially grow up having nowhere near the experience that I had. And so many of you have gone through the same thing. It's like your kids, you know, they ended up rooting for players, or they, you know, God forbid, rooted for another team. That's a bad job by the parents, by the way, if that happened. But the point being, they've had nothing. They've had nothing but a clown show, and they have never felt what, not just you can feel as a fan, but what you can feel as a community when your team ends up being a great team and playing at this level. Like the group text threads that I'm sure so many of you were going through and the conversations, and it, I mean, this is, and like we've talked about, not that I want to get beyond Sunday, but I think this is just the beginning, because when you have greatness at the quarterback position, that is the number one predictor of sustained contention over a period of time. Let's face it, guys, we have Mahomes too. We do. And look at what he's been able to do. And he's had more competition in his conference than we have. I'm not counting it already. That chicken is still unhatched. But I do understand, as a football fan like you do, when you have greatness at that position, when you have one of those 2 or 3, 4 guys, then you got a chance every year to be playing big, meaningful games on big stages. And this is just the beginning, and it's fun. And it feels great, and it's been too long. We'll try to take more of your calls next. Ben Standing scheduled to join us in the next hour as well. Denton will have a quick, very quick preview of tonight's national championship game as well, and we'll look back at the other 3 divisional round games. We're in the NFC championship game Sunday in Philadelphia. Crazy.